Hello, everybody. It is Sam from Financial Samurai, and today we're going to talk about the three levels of financial independence because money is only part of the equation. So, what is financial independence? Well, I was going to use the term early retirement, and then I thought otherwise because early retirement is okay, if you retire before the age of, let's say, 50 or maybe even 55, that's considered early retirement. But financial independence can span one's entire life. You can be financially independent at 30. And you can be financially independent at 65 once you start collecting Social Security and so forth. So, what's the definition of financial independence? I think it encapsulates a couple things. One, no need to work for a living because your investment income or non-work income covers all your living expenses. Or, no need to work for a living because your net worth, your liquid net worth, is equal to or greater than the number of years left in your life times your annual living expenses. So if you have a 3 million liquid net worth with 30 years left to live, you're FI if your living expenses are no more than $100,000 a year. And as the personal finance freak that I am, I came up with the pyramid of financial independence, which starts off as budget financial independence as the base, baseline financial independence for the middle, and blockbuster financial independence for the top. So we'll talk about one in more detail. So let's start with budget financial independence. So if your household income is less than $40,000 a year, or about $40,000 a year, you're considered lower middle class. And don't be offended by that, it's just statistics. The current official poverty threshold is an income of around $25,000 a year for a family of four and $19,000 for a family of three. So $40,000 a year, lower middle class, right? And so if you're happy with living a $40,000 a year lifestyle, then you would need between 800,000 to 1.6 million in investable assets returning 2.5 to 5% a year to replicate the $40,000 a year. So, of course, if you've been investing in this bull market, you probably have a higher rate of return, but I think it's better to be conservative. And given the 10-year bond yield is at 2.5% and the 10-year bond yield is the risk-free rate of return, while you are in financial independence mode, that's the return you should get at the very least. And so if you're not making money while you're financially independent, you're not investing properly. So this budget level financial independence is kind of tricky. A lot of funny things happen. So for example, you might make one of your spouse continue to work in order for you to live the FI lifestyle. Or you might move to a lower cost area of the country or the world so that you don't have to spend as much for rent and all that kind of stuff. You might downsize to a small rental or a small house, one of those mini houses, or you might even move into an RV or a van. You might delay or not have children at all because children kind of mess up your freedom and they are very expensive. You might take a part-time job, or you might do some freelance or consulting. And you might aggressively work on your passion project to build a business. So a lot of people wonder, if you've got to do one or many of these things, are you really financially independent? And I would say, yeah, why not? If you don't have to work a day job and you can live a life of leisure and just do some of these side hustle things or adjust your lifestyle accordingly, I think you're financially independent. You know, nobody's going to be able to tell you how to live your financially independent life. That's up to you. Everybody has their own personal preferences. So between 2012 and 2014, I would say that I was in budget financial independence mode. Even though I was earning about $80,000 in passive income, and even though I had a severance that lasted, I would say 5 to 6 years of living expenses. And the reason why is because I live in San Francisco. So the $80,000 is really more like $40,000. So even with these numbers, I was still afraid that I had made the wrong choice leaving a job at 34. You know, I was making several hundred thousand dollars a year. And as a result, I tried to sell my house and downsize by 70%, but in 2012, nobody wanted to buy my house, thank goodness. And also, my wife and I talked, and we agreed that she would work for another 3 years until she turned 34, just like me when I left, to give us time to figure out whether or not we could do this. It's better to kind of like leg in, that's what I think. So at the end of 2014, she negotiated her severance as well, a little before her 34th birthday, which was really, really cool. Next up is basic financial independence. So the median household income in the United States is about $60,000 a year. So $60,000 is therefore considered a comfortable middle-class income for most Americans. And if you don't have to work for your $60,000 a year, then life should be better and maybe even fantastic. So if we use the same 2.5 to 5% annual investment return, a household would need investments of between 1.2 to 2.4 million to be considered basic financial independence. So once you've got at least 1.2 million investable assets and you no longer want to work again, I don't really recommend you shooting for more than a 5% rate of return, because the worst thing is losing your money and having to go back to work if you don't want to. The other thing to realize is that once you've reached financial independence, you no longer need to save for financial independence. So everybody I know striving for financial independence tends to save anywhere between 20 to 80% of their after-tax income. So if you can replicate your annual household gross salary or household income of $60,000, that's pretty great. It's like automatically getting a nice buffer because you don't have to save anymore. And if you have 20 years left to live and only require $60,000 a year to be happy, then having $1.2 million can also be considered enough, even if you make zero return. The only problem is inflation is going to eat away your purchasing power, and you don't know how long you're going to live. So far we've been talking about the money part of financial independence, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about the psychological part a little bit more. So my blogging buddy, Joe from Retire by 40, is a great example of having enough money but finding it very difficult to overcome the fear of not working. So he left his tech job in Portland in 2012, I believe. And every year, I swear, every year he questions whether his wife can join him in retirement. And he's older than me by 6 years. And even though he's been retired for over 5 years, and even though they have close to a $3 million net worth, and even though his online income and passive income cover more than their annual living expenses, and then some, she still cannot retire. And he's still able to convince her to keep on working, because there's this fear of if they both leave, then what? So what happens is, I remember when I left, I was like, wow, I need some healthcare just in case. Even though I had, you know, Cobra as part of my severance for 6 months, I was like, well, it's better you work so we can have some healthcare. And then I was always thinking, well, better you work to, you know, fulfill your potential. You're only, you know, I was talking to my wife, right? You're only 31, 32 years old. Why don't you just work till you're 34 and see whether you really, really can fulfill your potential and see if you can get senior manager or whatever it is. So essentially, we come up with all these excuses, even though we run the numbers over and over again, all these metrics, Monte Carlo simulation analysis, whatever, that says, hey, you guys are going to be fine. But it really takes a lot of courage to overcome this fear. So finally, we have blockbuster financial independence. This is a level of FI that I've been trying to achieve since I was 30 years old, when I decided that an individual income of $200,000 to $250,000 and a household income of $300,000 was the ideal income for maximum happiness. I was carefully plotting my happiness levels when I was making less and when I was making more, and I discovered, frankly, at these income levels, I wasn't any happier. In fact, the more I made, the less happy I was, because the more I had to work. And it's funny, because that is exactly what's happening with my online business. So given I've spent most of my post-college life living in Manhattan and San Francisco, it was only natural to arrive at these numbers, because the median priced home in these two cities is like 1.4 to 1.5 million now. So using the same 2.5% to 5% return figures, one would therefore need 5 to 10 million per individual and 6 million to 12 million per couple in investable assets to reach blockbuster financial independence. So I got to that level. Well, I got to 220,000 in annualized passive income at my peak in the first half of 2017. And I was feeling pretty good. But then I ended up slashing my passive income by about 60,000 after selling my rental house in San Francisco to simplify life. I just couldn't take, you know, the tenants and all the maintenance and then the rising property taxes anymore. So I was like, forget it. So I still have a long way to go, especially now that I have a son to raise. But here's the thing, folks. Even if you have, let's say, 6 million to 12 million in investable assets, you might still not be able to walk away. I swear to goodness, it's just crazy. You know, you always think, oh, if you get to $1 million, you'll be satisfied or happy. And then once you get there, you get to 3 million. And then when you're at 3 million, you want 5. And then 5, it just never ends. It's kind of crazy. So due to the fear I had, of not being able to comfortably provide for my wife and newborn. I mean, I was looking at, you know, preschool costs and middle school costs and high school costs for these private schools, and it's like crazy. It's like $32,000 to $50,000 a year. You know, I was like, man, that's a lot of money for many, many years. Due to this fear of not being able to comfortably provide for my wife and newborn, I worked way too much in 2017 on Financial Samurai to my health's detriment. So therefore, until I can reach $300,000 in truly passive income a year, or never let Financial Samurai stress or tire me out again, I won't be reaching Blockbuster FI anytime soon. So the upside to that is, hey, I have something to shoot for, but the downside is, well, not there yet. In conclusion, even if you find yourself in the budget FI category, it's still better than having to work a soulless day job with a long commute and a terrible micromanager. Most people I know who find themselves in budget FI are either on the younger side, like under 40 years old, they don't have kids, or are forced to live quite frugally. And I found that in many cases, not all, but many cases, folks in the budget FI category long to lead a more comfortable life, so they either go back to work to make more money and save more money, do some consulting, or try to build a business within 3 years to move up the pyramid. And it's funny because a lot of people talk about, oh, millennials like to rent and they don't like to own. But guess what? Now the millennials are reaching 35 years old and above, and they're starting families, and hey, they want to own. It's the same thing over and over again, and life just happens, and there's really not too much difference from generation to generation in terms of our needs and our biological wants and so forth. There's this natural urge to still make financial progress by continuing the good financial habits that got you there in the first place. And wonderfully enough, the progress you make is like finding loose diamonds after you've already found a pot of gold. That's the beauty of financial independence. Don't let anybody tell you how to live your life. If you are happy and you don't have to work, that is awesome. But also, don't trick yourself either. You might really not be financially independent if you're busting your butt doing some consulting work or working on your business 10 hours a day and stressing out. You know, that's something that I really realized in 2017 that I really needed to slow down and stop. So really have a good assessment of what financial independence means to you. And I'm curious, will you be satisfied if you only get to budget FI? And I want to know, what stage are you in your financial independence journey? Thanks so much.